Our study of 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 13, and we had just finished reading the tail end of verse 7 and the beginning of verse 8. And I'd like to, if we may, for us to talk about love a little bit more here. So many times, and you may have been to many weddings too, where we read these verses or you've heard these verses read at weddings, and they really are beautiful, aren't they? But I want you to stop and just take a minute here, and I want you to think about love defined by the Word of God. Because so many times we put our tendency is to put a romantic Hollywood definition for love. But you think about this. Patient. Benevolent, doesn't envy, it's not boastful, not prideful, doesn't act improperly, not self-seeking, not exasperated, easily provoked. This one's my favorite. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. An inventory of injury. Aren't you glad the Lord loves us that way, that He's not keeping a record? Finds no joy in unrighteousness and injustice. Rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, covers all things with silence. Loves you so much, loves me so much. He endures, he perseveres. And love never ends, it never fails. He is love, and we've already mentioned that. There are times that I like to just meditate on this and just ponder this kind of love that the Lord has, and I make it personal for me. He loves me this way, that He's patient with me, that He's not easily provoked. He's a God that loves us so much that we don't have to walk on eggshells, wondering, am I doing the right thing the right way? You know, our love for Him, there'll be just an innate desire for us to serve Him well and to love Him this same way, right? To reciprocate the love. But I encourage you, if you haven't yet, spent some time really pondering on this love that the Lord has for us. You see, because we too are to love others this exact same way. Now that's a tall order, isn't it? But we've already heard and we've already learned that if we don't love, that all these other gifts that we've just talked about, they're not going to amount to anything, are they? But this love that supersedes everything else, that covers, that protects. Isn't that something? So as we keep reading, I want you to think about that. Don't breeze by these verses and think, oh yeah, I've heard this 100 times before. I've read this before. I just heard it in a wedding I went to last weekend. Really think about this kind of love that we're talking about here. That's not self-motivated. That's not out for me, myself, and I.
You can really get a good picture of this with Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them.
Mm.
Or when Stephen's being stoned saying, don't lay the sin to their charge. I was thinking as Heather was going through those things, how many people have ever said, I love you, and you believe that they meant all those things?
Mm.
I could say, how many people have you ever told I love you? And you meant all those things. Puts a whole new meaning to love, doesn't it? More than an affection.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not based on anything the other person does. It's just a deliberate love that is going to love the unlovable. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
And you know, you think about, we're having a hard time with your sound or mine one, but we're told, mine I suppose, to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? Love our neighbor as ourselves. That means I'm going to be patient, kind, not envy, not boastful, not conceited. You understand where I'm going with all of this. We can be so flippant with that word love and use it so carelessly. But that's our greatest commandment, isn't it? Now let's think on that. Let's think about how should we be treating others. I suppose that's me, I'm sorry. How should we be imitating the love of Jesus? What does that look like for us? How do we apply it? I believe love is a choice. I believe it's an active choice. We choose to love.
You know, if a person thinks that you genuinely love them, they're more apt to listen to you.
You have to get the right perception.
Right. Well, we have to convey that. I'm telling you, I've heard preachers preach, and maybe I've been guilty of it myself. They act like they're mad at you.
Talk about hell like they want you to go.
You know.
We're having a hard time with the sound.
Excuse me?
We're not getting sound through your microphone.
Through my microphone?
Because it's so coming and going, both of us, really.
But the batteries, huh?
Particularly yours.
Let's put them in it. Maybe somebody will invent a cable that works on these things. Is it coming through? Okay. But we're going to love anyway, right? You know, I had a good friend of mine that really got taken advantage of by a man in the church. And I'd stopped by his house to visit him, and he said, I want you to look at this. And he showed me what had been done wrong. And he said, you know, a Christian brother shouldn't do you that way. He said, but I'm going to love him anyway.
Mm.
And he was a man that exemplified love. And he was good for his word. He loved that man till the day he died, even though that man had taken advantage of him several hundred dollars. He didn't let it bother him. He didn't think about it. You wouldn't even known it. I saw the man in his presence, and you would have never known anything had ever happened. He chose to forgive him and forget it. Well, God does that with us.
Mm.
Not because we deserve, just because he chooses. And so he wants us to do that with other people, not to remind them of their past and throw things up in their face and all this type of thing. Then our gifts can be more effective. Got to get the atmosphere right. Okay?
Okay.
All right, let's go on and look at the rest of that. Mm-hmm. It says, you know, charity never fails.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about how prophecies,
they're going to come
to an end. Did I lose it again? I'm good? Okay. prophecy, when things are fulfilled, you don't need prophecy anymore, right? It's the same thing with tongues, the same thing with knowledge. Right now,
we only
know a portion. He says, but when the full thing, the complete things come, then we're not going to
need the portion.
You understand? Some people want to use this verse and say that tongues have ceased. But they don't look at the rest of this verse about the knowledge and about prophecies. And so we have to keep the things in context. All he's saying is, right now in this life, this has a place. But there's coming a day when all this is going to be fulfilled. And once it's fulfilled, you don't need it. You understand? I mean, can you imagine
just knowing completely? Knowing, no guessing in it.
You just
know. You know as you know. Well, that's
day's coming. And then he says, we know in part, we prophesy
in part, but when
that which is complete is
come, then that which is in part will be done away.
And then he moves in to this 11th verse. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I'm going to tell you, you can listen to the conversation of people and you can locate them as far as their spiritual growth.
As to
whether they're infants
or if they're
maturing.
You understand? He said, when I
was a child, I talked like a child. You know, if you're talking like a child, it means you're thinking like a child. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It means because there's a lack of knowledge. He said, I thought as a child, but when I became a man,
mm-hmm.
when I became mature, I put away childish things. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean this in a facetious way, it's just an absolute fact. Most churches are operating childishly. It's still a self-centeredness. They're not mature in the Lord. You mature in the Lord, it'll get rid of your contentions, it'll get rid of your opinions. You'll want to know what God wants. And not split hairs over this, that, and the other. Well, I'd like this. Well, I like this. Well, I think this should be there. Well, I think it should be over here. Who cares? I read years ago what caused church splits, and they had it categorized. And it wasn't doctrine. It was color of carpet, decor in the church. Well, now that tells me something about you. You walk in the doors and all you see is natural, then you got a problem. You understand if that thing's functional, that's what it's all about. Is it getting the job done? Who cares if it's pink, red, purple, or yellow? What difference does it make? What matters is what's going on in it, what's going forth from it. You understand? Now we'll tell the difference between immaturity and maturity. We'll tell who's walking in the flesh, who's walking in the spirit. And God is wanting to get us to a place, you take care of the building, don't misunderstand me. You just don't worship it. And you don't change it just because you want another color. That's the problem with Americans. They get bored. They want to change carpet every 5 years, or they want to redo this and redo that. It's a waste of money, because 5 years later you're going to do the same thing again. And what are you doing? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? And it's got to come down to this. We've got to start thinking spiritually instead of naturally. Children think naturally. But adults should be seeing a bigger picture. They should be seeing down the road. How many of you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again? But how many are preparing for that today? Or do they think, well, it'll just happen sometime down the road and I'll have plenty of time? You don't know when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Jesus said you don't know the time. He said the Father has reserved that for Himself. But he did say through the word that it's going to be like a thief in the night. A thief in the night doesn't announce his coming. So you have to be ready. We have to be prepared all the time. You won't be spiritually prepared thinking naturally. And a lot of people are going to be deceived, and that bothers me. Because you don't want them deceived. You want them to wake up to the reality of the kingdom of God is here right now. He would like to rule, but we have to let him rule. And what's going on in you is more important than what's going on around you. The people tend to focus on what's going on around them, not what's going on the inside. No, let's grow up. Let's get out of this childhood state. And let's start talking like mature Christians, you understand, with our mind on the kingdom of God. What does God want? Not what do I want. What does God want? Okay, I could say a lot there, but it'd probably make you mad if I did, so I'll just back off. I want people to be spiritual.
Verse 12.
Put away childish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see through a glass unclearly. What does your version say?
Mine says, for now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face.
That'd be a smoked one.
Yes.
It's obscure. We don't see clear. We don't have the full picture. You follow me? He says here, seeing through a glass darkly, but the day's coming that we'll see face will answer to face. You understand? So now I know a little bit. I know in part. But the day's coming that I will know as I'm known. How does God know me? By the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So how will I know? By the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for what things does a man know except for the spirit of man in him? You can think, you can reason, but your spirit knows.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between thinking and knowing, suspecting and knowing. When you know, you can't be convinced otherwise. The day's coming that we're going to know as we're known. You understand? Well, I think we could develop in that even now, to where we become a little more proficient by evaluating things from the inside instead of the outside, listening to the Spirit, being aware of the Spirit, trying the Spirits. You follow me? But here again, that's a small portion. Thank God the whole complete thing is coming. There's no guesswork in that at all. You know, it's amazing how many people don't know this, if it's the Spirit talking to them. They don't know if the Spirit's leading them. Is that, you know, is that the Spirit of God? Is that me? Is that the devil? What is all that? So consequently, they're not led by the Spirit because they're uncertain. And yet, John 10, Jesus said his sheep know his voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. And so a lot of people that talk to me are telling me I'm not a sheep because I don't know the voice. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. I could say it this way. The sheep know the Word of God. And they don't follow anything contrary to the Word of God. But a whole different way. Okay.
Verse 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Isn't that interesting? Everybody thinks the greatest of these is faith. all the emphasis on faith. You know how faith works? By love. Faith, hope, charity. Three eternal things. Faith, hope, love. We know that faith works by love. He says the greatest of these is love. Got things sort of out of proportion, haven't we? So, now, before we leave this chapter, I just want to say this to make sure that we're clear on some things. I have somebody to come tell me, and I just leave it at that, you know, that I didn't preach enough on love, that I need to be preaching on love. Well, if I'm presenting Jesus to you, I'm presenting love personified, if you were sensitive enough to understand that. But really what they were saying is, what I want you to preach is on something that'll make me feel good and stroke my flesh. Love will correct you. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects. But when a message comes forth with an instruction or a correction, people don't want to hear that. And so they don't understand love. It's not mushy-gushy stuff. Love's fact. God loves us because He wants to, not because He has some warm, fuzzy feeling. He just loves us. And you should love people for the same reason. You know, I've been in the presence of people, and on the outside of them, it didn't look real good. But yet on the inside of you, you have such a compassionate of God for them that you love them in spite of what you're seeing. It's sort of like your kids. You love your kids. You know, they do some dumb things, but you still love them. In the midst of doing the dumb thing, you still love them. And boy, God's proven that to us, hasn't He? I don't know if anybody's done more dumb stuff than us. That's what Paul would say, I'm the chief, you know.
You understand.
But the Lord demonstrates His love for us. And then Romans 5 says He sheds His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that He's given us. And so a real key in producing this fruit of love is to be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, we know that the branch produces the fruit, but the fruit comes from a source. The branch doesn't have the source. The vine has the source. So in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit, our spirits must be united with the Spirit of God. See, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to produce the fruit. That's why union with the Spirit is so important. That's why it's so important to spend time with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, listen to the Spirit. I'm not talking about listening for voices. Don't do that stuff. I'm talking about listening to the Spirit. Just being still before God. You with me? And then we'll get a whole different understanding of what love is and what love's for. Love's not for you. It's for them. You understand? God loves us, not for Himself, but for us. We love others. It shouldn't be for ourselves. If I love you for what I can get out of you, I don't love you. Mm-hmm. I love me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how so many relationships are. People go into a relationship wanting the other one to fulfill them. No, don't go in empty. If you're full, you've got something to offer. The problem is two empty people go in and try to get filled by the other one, and it doesn't work. We have this tug of war going on all the time. But go in with your cup full. You're not looking for what you can get out of them. You're looking for what you can do for them. Isn't it amazing how God does that with us? I was reading yesterday the book of Ruth. And I hit one part and I got just teary-eyed. The way that she was so dedicated, and how that dedication was reciprocated back, drop her some handfuls on purpose. Don't rebuke her. Let her glean among the wheat. And ultimately, she's in the lineage of Jesus. Because of her love and loyalty to someone. You understand that she was doing everything she could to take care of somebody else. And in the process, she got taken care of. Big time. That's just a godly principle. You understand? God takes care of us, and by Him taking care of us, He gets benefit out of what we do. But He loves you. He died for the world. God so loved the world. People that reject Him, Jesus loved them. You understand? Not based on what you can get. The love of God in you is wanting to flow through you onto other people. Amen. Then you're out of the picture. When you get out of the picture, your life's going to be better. Mm. Yeah. Were you through with that chapter?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy.
That word follow in this setting right here means pursue. Pursue love. Seek it. Chase it. Well, God is love. Right? So if I really want love, I'm not seeking it in something out here horizontally. I'm going to seek love vertically. I'm going to seek the God of love. Okay? And you know what happens if you seek Him? You find Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so He says, pursue the love and then desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, you have to keep this in context, yeah, or you're going to make prophecy this great big thing and these other things just little inferior things. That's not what He's talking about. As you read it in context, you'll find out why He says desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Okay?
For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men but to God, since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit.
Now, read this till it gets inside you. Do you have an understanding of it? Because it says, he who speaks in an unacquired language, tongues, if you will, is not talking to men. So this can't be the gift of tongues. He's talking not to people. If you're given a message in tongues, you're talking to people. Right? So he says he's talking to God, and he's actually talking secrets. That's what mysteries is here. He's actually speaking about secret things to God. It's just God in him, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Paul says it this way, his mind's unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm praying, but I'm not understanding. When I'm praying in an unacquired language, I'm not understanding what I'm saying. Now, I'm not going to say that you will never get the interpretation, but basically you're not. You're talking secrets. There's some things the Spirit of God wants to pray through you that you don't need to know. And different directions I could go here, but let me just say this. Prayer is a legal matter.
Mm.
That's why it's so important that we pray. Because what it does is gives God the legal right to move in a person's behalf here on earth. See, God gave dominion to humanity. He didn't take the dominion back when Adam fell. That wasn't part of the curse. The dominion's there. And it was abused. Still being abused. You understand? And so because man has dominion, God just doesn't usurp the man. He goes through the man. Because there is an accuser of the brethren out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see this thing is like a court of law. To where you have that prosecuting attorney over there trying to convict you and send you to jail. Or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a defense attorney, an advocate, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, right? And so when we pray legally, it's not the devil doesn't understand you. You're praying the will of God. So there's nothing he can do about it. And, you know, if you look at a court of law and you see the judge, and if one of them gets out of line, a prosecuting attorney or defense attorney, the other can say, I object. Well, if they're out of line, he comes down, objection sustained. But if they're not, he says objection overruled. When we pray the will of God, then there's not a thing Satan can do about it. And it gives God the legal right to answer the prayer. Mm-hmm. That's why intercessory prayer is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I believe intercessory prayer saved a lot of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's given God the legal right to move in behalf of someone. Okay? So when we're praying in the Spirit, we don't know what we're praying, but we know we can be assured that because the Holy Spirit is giving us the utterance, that it will be the will of God. It's just a secret. Okay? So what I want you to see is praying to God, speaking to God, is different than speaking for God. So everyone is a candidate for speaking to God by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had people to say, well, tongues are not for everybody. I said, well, show me that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to take you to the 12th chapter, do all speak in tongues. Take it out of context. No, all do not give a message in tongues. But all can speak in tongues if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they should be speaking in tongues. Because it builds you up on your most holy faith. You understand? It edifies you. And that's why that's what he's saying here. When a person is praying to God, when he's praying in tongues, it's building him up.
Mm-hmm.
Him. The person praying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you want to keep reading here before I get ahead of you?
But the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation.
Okay. So if you're praying in tongues, you're speaking to God, and you're talking secrets. Nobody knows what's going on. Okay? But if you prophesy, then you're speaking in a language that anyone can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then that prophesying, that we're in, keep the context from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians here. Then the prophesying should be edifying, comforting, mm-hmm. or exhorting, one of those three. Okay? Now, some people say that prophecy can't correct. That's not saying that. You don't understand exhortation. If you get in and look at the definitions of these things and understand, it doesn't say all prophesying makes you feel good. That's not what that says. It says that prophesying is doing one of these three things. It's either edifying, exhorting, or comforting. That's the whole purpose for it coming forth, okay? We're going to have to stop here because of time, so we come back to this in our next session, okay? Thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.